Our nation's airports need a lot of work. North Dakota airports seek federal assistance. And the cockpit voice recorder is recovered from the Twin Otter lost in Antarctica. This is Aero News for Friday, February 1st, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. America's airports need to complete $71.3 billion worth of essential infrastructure projects between now and 2017, including major runway and terminal expansions that are required to keep pace with passenger growth forecast. That, according to a new report issued today by the Airports Council International North America. The ACINA 2013 Capital Needs Survey provides information on all airport projects over the next 5 years, not just those that are Airport Improvement Program eligible, as is the case with the FAA's National Plan of Integrated Airport Systems report. The survey shows that commercial and general aviation airports have $71.3 billion in total projects that are considered essential by the airports and airport users. Not surprisingly, the available funding for airport infrastructure projects falls far short of that mark. Along with the ACINA, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce, U.S. Travel Association, American Society of Civil Engineers, and Building America's Future have also raised concerns and urge investment in enhancing our airport infrastructure. In a letter to the FAA Administrator Michael Huerta, North Dakota Senators John Hoeven and Heidi Heitkamp, along with Congressman Kevin Cramer, have asked the agency to support vital airport expansion projects in Minot, Wilston, and Dickinson. The trio said all of these cities are experiencing rapid population growth and record boardings as a consequence of expanding energy development. In its letter to the administrator, the delegation said, quote, North Dakota continues to experience unprecedented economic growth statewide, including robust oil and gas development in western North Dakota's oil patch. While this rapid growth has many benefits, existing aviation infrastructure is being significantly strained, end quote. The letter goes on to say, as North Dakota, the number two oil-producing state in the nation, helps to provide fuel and electricity for our nation, impacts on the aviation infrastructure of this region must be addressed. Investment in our state's aviation system by the FAA through Airport Improvement Program discretionary awards is critical for long-term growth and development, end quote. Officials with the U.S. Antarctic Program and Antarctica New Zealand have jointly decided to recall search and rescue teams from the site of an Antarctic aircraft crash after examination of the plane indicated that it would be unsafe at this point to further disturb the wreckage that is largely embedded in snow and ice on a steep mountain slope. The team was able to recover some equipment from the exposed tail of the de Havilland DHC-6 Twin Otter, including the cockpit voice recorder, which should provide aviation authorities with more information about the cause of the crash. However, the team was unable to safely access and so unable to recover the remains of the crew. With the advent of the Antarctic winter and the generally poor weather conditions at the crash site, any renewed effort to recover the remains will need to wait until the next Antarctic research season. Memorial ceremonies are being conducted today at the Kennedy Space Center in Florida, at the Arlington National Cemetery in Washington, D.C., and in the town of Hemp Hill in East Texas, as part of NASA's Day of Remembrance that honors the crew of the Space Shuttle Columbia, lost 10 years ago today, February the 1st, 2003. Columbia and its crew were lost just 15 minutes before landing at NASA's Kennedy Space Center in Florida, when then unknown damage to its wing allowed heating from re-entry to cause a high-speed aerodynamic breakup of the vehicle at an altitude of about 200,000 feet over East Texas. Commander Rick Husband, co-pilot William McCool, Kaplana Chawla, Michael Anderson, Dr. David Brown, Dr. Laurel Clark, and Israeli Ilan Ramon were killed in the final minutes of their 16-day scientific research mission aboard Columbia. In the aftermath of NASA's 113th shuttle mission, President George W. Bush announced in 2004 that the three remaining shuttles would retire in 2010 once they completed delivering pieces of the International Space Station to orbit. In fact, the fleet was retired in 2011. NASA's Day of Remembrance also salutes the lives and memories of the crew of the Shuttle Challenger and of those involved in the fire on Apollo 1. When Aero News continues, NASA launches its first next-gen communication satellite. Get your degree in UAVs and live life to the plus.
Diamond Aircraft's new DA-40 Diamond Star XL includes all popular Diamond options, combined with the sensational new Garmin GFC700 Autopilot, a higher performance power plant, and increased gross weight. This makes the Diamond Star XL the perfect choice for affordable personal flying. The Diamond Star XL features equipment and enhancements that increase performance, capability, safety, convenience, and comfort. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues for Friday, February the 1st. I'm Glenn Moyer. The first of NASA's three next-generation tracking and data relay satellites, known as TDRS-K, launched at 8:48 p.m. Eastern Standard Time Wednesday from Cape Canaveral Air Force Station in Florida. The TDRS system provides tracking, telemetry, command, and high-bandwidth data return services for numerous science and human exploration missions orbiting Earth. These include the International Space Station and NASA's Hubble Space Telescope. The TDRS-K spacecraft includes several modifications from older satellites in the TDRS system, including redesigned telecommunications payload electronics and a high-performance solar panel designed for more spacecraft power to meet growing S-band requirements. Another significant design change, the return to ground-based processing of data, which will allow the system to service more customers with evolving communications requirements. The next TDRS spacecraft, the TDRS-L, is scheduled for launch in 2014. Flight schools, as well as colleges that offer aviation programs, are beefing up their courses in unmanned aerial vehicle, UAV, operations in anticipation of drones being allowed to fly in the national airspace by 2015. That date has been set as the likely time frame for the FAA's release of its policy on commercial UAV use. According to an NBC News report relayed by the Washington Times, there are currently only three full UAV degree programs in the United States, but there are 358 additional schools and institutions offering certificate and permit programs. Much of that training is focused on law enforcement missions, according to the report, but no law enforcement agencies have yet been given permission to utilize drones on a regular basis. Some proof-of-concept programs have been allowed, and some departments are purchasing the aircraft now in anticipation of their being eventually used and approved. Courses are being offered at institutions as diverse as aviation-centric schools like Embry-Riddle in Daytona, Florida, to community colleges and state universities. ERAU told NBC News that they make it clear from the onset of instruction that the courses are focused on the civilian use of the UAV. Juice Plus, the whole food-based nutritional brand, has announced a national partnership with acclaimed airshow pilot Julie Clark. The partnership between Clark and Juice Plus is ideal as both parties echo the importance of healthy lifestyle and living life to its fullest. The company says Clark truly embodies the Juice Plus brand and live life to the plus. With more than 40 years of flight experience and an average of more than 20 airshow performances each year, Clark has spent much of her life engaging with and bringing excitement to those around her. Juice Plus, which is marketed as the next best thing to fruits and vegetables, helps bridge the gap between what we should eat and what we do eat every day. Juice Plus understands that not everyone can consume the U.S. Department of Agriculture's recommended 7 to 13 daily servings of fruits and vegetables, and works to provide a simple solution for improving the family diet. Randy Matthews, Vice President of U.S. Sales for Juice Plus, says, quote, "Julie has used Juice Plus products for many years and genuinely understands and represents what we stand for as a brand. With her affinity for leading a healthy lifestyle and her crowd-pleasing performances, we're proud to partner with her," end quote. The sponsorship began in December of 2012 and will kick off with a complete redesign of Clark's Smokin' Mentor T-34 airplane and her uniform, which will, of course, prominently feature Juice Plus. Based on that rationale, I can see a great sponsorship opportunity for myself and these Aero podcasts with either, say, Dr. Pepper or Little Debbie's Snack Cakes. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.